Greetings to you all, saints of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank the Lord who has led us thus far as we feed from Him, for He has fed us intimately as the eagle feeds our young, even from the mouth to mouth. Hence we share of His attributes and His genes, we are His offspring, just as Paul quoted. And we bless the Lord for such privilege. Amen. Today, as we gradually approach the end of our series on the bread which the Lord has given, we would like to examine the words of Jesus carefully as He introduces this true bread which the Father has given from heaven. I'll take my text from John chapter 6, as we did last week, yesterday in the last series. John chapter 6, verse 32, 33. And then I'll also read further and omit some of the verses, just to get down to our point. So we'll read John chapter 6, verse 32. It reads, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Amen. So Jesus, as we saw, that he claimed, according to the Jews, they will say he claimed to be the bread that which God gave. However, the Jews, in contrast, were looking at the physical, the literal manner that came down from heaven. And then Jesus told them that that was not the true bread. And we explained the word true. When Jesus said the true bread, he was not saying that there was not actually a bread that came down from heaven. There was a bread, but he was saying that it is not the perfect realization of the idea which God was trying to put through to us, to mankind. It was just a partial reality, but there was a perfect reality of which he is, Christ is, and he will be giving to the world this perfect reality. Amen. So today, let me take us through these words of Jesus as he receives confrontation from the Jews. And having said these words in verse 48, if we can go to verse 48 of the same John chapter 6, it reads here, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So we see that Jesus, he said that he is the bread. He had told them that Moses did not give them that true bread. But this time, the Father is giving the true bread. And he's saying that that true bread is he is the one, and is the bread of life. Because they, when they ate of the bread, though they were able to sustain them for a time, but they perished. But this bread that he will be giving, it will cause them not to perish. They will have life eternal. Now, I would want to, because of the consistency of scriptures, I would like to go with Jesus' idea, the idea that Jesus was bringing forth, because if truly the bread that came down from heaven was God's bread, it should have given them life and life eternal. So it was just a foreshadow. It was a shadow. It was the partial, the figure of the actual bread. Because they perished in the wilderness. And why did they perish? Because the words that came did not mix with faith in them that believed. That bread, they did not discern the bread. They just ate it, and because they were able to live their natural life, it was able to sustain their natural life, they felt that that was all that God wanted for them. But there was more to it. Now, for God to be giving his children bread, there's a purpose why he gave them bread. He didn't just give them bread so that they could eat and live and be sustained just that. No. But there was a purpose why he was giving them bread. And I would like to draw our attention to something in the book of Daniel. If we go over to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel's chapter 1. And I would like to read from verse 3. There's something about what bread actually does. Here it says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of and the tongue of the Chaldeans." So, verse 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meal and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." So I'll move to verse 8. So you can see that for them to be able to stand before the king, there was the criteria is that the king had to subject them to his kind of meal and his kind of drink. Why? So that their countenance can be bright. What will this meal and drink do? It will make their countenance look better than every other person's in that kingdom. It will also make them wiser, I'll put it that way. Their brain functioned properly and everything around them. So it is said that we are what we eat. We become what we eat. So the king was giving them his meal so that they can be like him, the king. Because these are going to be magicians. They are going to be the young people who are good in all forms of learning. They're going to be among the wise men of Babylon. So they will be representing the king in matters of administration, in governance, in totally. So they were to represent the king. And if that will be, then they have to look like the king. They have to represent the king properly. So if I read verse 8, "But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king, with a portion of the king's meal, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." I'll read verse 10. "And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who had appointed you your meal and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse like than the children which are of your sort? Then he make me endanger my head to the king." So you can see that he's saying that if you don't eat the king's meal, you will not look like others who eat this meal. So it determines our appearance. The appearance, food determines the appearance. So the same way, while God was trying to feed the children of Israel, is to make them become like him. He wanted them to have his character, because for a king to have a particular kind of meal, such meal must have been tested, must have been tried, must be able to keep the king in form and in shape. It must not be a meal that will make the king look sick, you know. So the king's meal, it should be one of the finest. The same way God, the quality of the food, of the bread that God is given, is to ensure that his children become like him. So God is giving us the bread. So if the bread in the wilderness, the manna in the wilderness, was actually the perfect reality, or the perfect idea that God was conveying to his people, then when the people ate that bread continuously, daily, they ate that bread, they should have had eternal life. They should have been transformed to have the very God kind of life. But that was not the real bread. The real bread was that which came down from heaven, which it was Christ, and anyone who believes and who eats of that bread will have eternal life, will have God's kind of life. And it is not only eating once to have God's kind of life, but gradually, as we eat the bread, we gradually transform to have God's character, to be like God, because we are God's representatives on earth. So God had to subject us to his kind of meal, which is the bread which he had given from heaven. Amen. So, and the word of God is tried. In the book of Psalms, chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible said that the word of God is pure and it's tried. So, and this word of God is what we need to transform us daily. When we feed daily, we gradually are transformed to become like God. It affects everything about us. It affects our mind. That's why if you read Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says here, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You are conformed to this world by your senses, by the things you see, by the things you hear, by the things you feel, the observation. You are conformed to this world. But he's saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So you may be able to prove. Amen. Just as Asphenas proved Daniel with the pulse, with the meal he desired to have instead in place of the king's meal, the same way God wanted to prove the children of Israel with the manna, the same way Paul is telling us to prove that we must be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Amen. So we see that our minds are gradually transformed to have the mind of Christ. We can't have the mind of Christ if we are not feeding from what Christ gives. So the meal that we receive is the bread that we receive from heaven is to help transform us, is to give us that very life. The Bible says that, and we will live by it. Just as the children of Israel were to live by the law, the same way we are to live by Christ, by the bread of God. Amen. So we see also, that's why the Bible, when Jesus was praying, he said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Why do we have trespasses? It's because we are by our senses, we are feeding on this world. What we see, what we hear, the things that affect us, the things that stimulate our minds and all of those stuffs, you know, that's what we feed on daily. But if we must have our minds transformed and keep the will of God, then we must feed daily from the bread that God has given. That's why
Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. That way we'll be forgiven of our trespasses. So it is important, brothers and sisters, that as we continue in the path in the kingdom that God has called us onto, in the life that God has given to us, the only way to sustain this life, eternal life, the only way to sustain God's own life is by feeding from the provision that God had made. God has given us only one provision, and that is the bread that comes from heaven. I pray that as we gradually seek for the daily bread of God, that we will find the nutrients required to help us grow, to help us be transformed to the image of his dear son. May the Lord bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.